Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Breaking news from The Athletic.
Okay, a little Cowboys breaking news off the top of the episode here. Jalen Smith has been released. We actually did a full Giants preview, which you can hear following this little Jalen Smith conversation. But we've got John and KT here to react to this beforehand for you. Because this is a little bit shocking, I guess, for it to occur at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, as we were recalling off the air before we got on here. It's just, it's crazy timing, John.
Yeah, it really is. I will say my initial thoughts were, though, that I wonder how much Keanu Neal going on reserve COVID impacted this not maybe happening earlier. I wonder if him going on that COVID reserve list for 2 weeks is what kind of delayed this move. And now we were told yesterday by Mike McCarthy that Keanu Neal's supposed to return this week. And I feel like this almost like opens the door, because if Keanu Neal wasn't going to be back, why would you not wait a little bit longer? But this certainly seems like one of those things where they're ready to move on and they didn't want to risk the chance of him getting injured and then him being locked into 2022. Because let's be honest, if you watch these games, he's not a good player. He's not a player that should be on the field all the time. I know that people can throw out his tackles numbers from previous seasons, that he's not a good player right now. The Cowboys are a better team when he's not on the field.
Yeah, no, there's no hiding that. And I think you might be able to maybe convince yourself, well, in this decreased role that he's maybe been exposed less because he's playing 20 snaps a game. The point is, you cannot take the chance of having him on the hook for $9 million next year because of the injury clause in his contract. Anything
KT, what do you think he was doing well this season?
Oh, to me, not much. Just not getting clearly exposed. Like, not getting, because when you're not playing that much, you're not getting targeted. I mean, every offensive coordinator is going to clearly point out we need to attack Jalen Smith when he's on the field. Well, he's not on the field very often. I mean, it's very, and I don't have the data in front of me, but it's felt like through these first four games, you would see him more on the first couple series, and then you really wouldn't see him that much throughout the game. You wouldn't see him a lot in the second half, that's for sure. So, I mean, because you see, when you watch Jalen play, everyone's faster than him, and that's the big thing for me.
I have a stat for you. And I agree with you. He hasn't been on the field nearly as much as he's been in the past. Let's see. Here we go. Pro Football Reference advanced stats. He's been targeted 10 times in pass coverage. 9 of those passes have been completed for 65 yards.
Oh.
One touchdown. Opposing quarterback's passer rating against him, 127.1.
It's not great. That's not good, man.
I'm fascinated by who's going to add him.
No one. Yeah, I don't think. I thought this was the only place that he would stay because there was a little bit of homegrown sentiment here from the ownership. Or maybe the front office, which I guess the ownership and front office kind of the same thing here. That's the only reason I thought that would happen. And the contract that happened, when we talk about at the time, it didn't seem like a good idea at the time. But then once you start talking about the injury clause that he has, to where he's guaranteed $9 million if he gets hurt, I mean, you can't take that chance, dude. Because I don't know the specific language of the injury clause. That's the thing. Probably not many people do, I would imagine. What does that language say? A season-ending injury? Because if he comes up with any type of injury, you're like, ah, crap, I got to pay this guy $9 million next year. It's better to just bite the bullet and pay a guy $7 million to not do his job because he's so bad at his job that you don't want him around anymore. And there's going to be a question that people ask about like locker room and intangibles and all that stuff. And I got to say, I think that's kind of an overblown thing. I could be wrong, but I feel like
hold on. Doesn't this speak to that though? Doesn't this speak to that?
Yeah,
they're on a three game winning streak, and all they've talked about over the past week, players and coach, front office, whatever, is about how good things are going, like how the camaraderie with the team. If you thought that this was going to be a piece that just cracked the foundation, you'd be fine eating $9 million next year. I don't think that they really think that it's like that. Let's just say there was a recent Cowboys game on TV, and one of the announcers said something about how important he was and how he was a team leader and all this stuff. And I just kind of was stunned at even hearing that. I'm like, who told you that? Like, I understand it sounds good and that on the end. And I'm not saying that there aren't guys that like him. I mean, certainly he's a likable guy. He's a nice guy. There's nothing against him. But, like, I don't think that – yeah, players are probably shocked that it happened because of his status. It's a young man's game. That locker room is not even close to the same locker room as two, three years ago. Players see contracts, probably think, oh, he's going to be here, whatever. But in terms of like his play on the field, like I find it hard to believe that the team's just like, oh my, how are we going to replace this production? Like, I mean, I find it very hard to believe that that's the feeling behind the scenes.
Yeah, you're not cutting your defensive leader if things are going so well because he's not the defensive leader. You know, that
clearly not this, anymore.
And the way I think about this, obviously we've got we know because we've covered the Cowboys, but it's almost like what happened with Jamie Collins with the Lions. They just cut him and the Patriots picked him up. Yeah, but it just looks different because Jalen's 26. We should think about Jalen as a 35-year-old linebacker because that's about what he plays like, you know, with his speed. He's just not fast. And I don't know how much of that's his fault, how much of it's the injury from college, all that stuff, whatever. Point is, not good enough. Right. And this is not Jalen's another one. By the way, the Cowboys didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Leighton Vander Esch. Maybe not good enough, you know?
We'll see
if they end up signing him next year. Maybe just not good enough to be around anymore.
To me, it's very clear that Dan Quinn has a large say in what goes on in personnel, whether it be the draft, free agency, or whatnot. And, I mean, it's hard for me to sit there and not go back to as I wrote on The Athletic with our breaking news piece, it's hard for me not to go back to that last game last year and in his post-game press conference when he was asked about if he'd be back in 2021, and he said about watch the film. Well, Dan Quinn watched the film, and Dan Quinn went out and signed Keanu Neal, and then with their first draft pick, they took Micah Parsons. And when you saw him in training camp, you pretty much knew that Micah Parsons was going to start one of the linebacker spots. They're going to be a nickel most of the time, so there will only be one other starting linebacker, and Jalen Smith was not going to be that other starting linebacker. It was going to be Keanu Neal or Leighton Vander Esch. Keanu Neal obviously won that job. And so Dan Quinn was ready to move on with what you know he wanted. And this right here, if Dan Quinn is like, I don't think we can operate without Jalen Smith will stay on the team for the rest of the season. They don't make this move. But he clearly has seen what he wants to out of what they have, and then it also brings me to, makes me wonder about how much this impacts how they feel about getting Jabril Cox on the field. Because keep in mind, there's a lot of people that thought, hey, why don't they go and get Richard Sherman? He's not going to cost very much. And Jerry said that they didn't want any progress stoppers to their younger players. And so now all of a sudden this opens up a window for Jabril Cox to play. And with what you've seen from their defensive youngsters up to this point, I don't think I'd mind to see what Jabril Cox has either.
So usually when something like this happens this early in the season too, you can tell this is something that they probably thought about doing back in camp, right? I mean, I feel like this is a thing where let's see if he still got it one last chance type thing. And then you finally realize, look, he just can't help us anymore. He just can't help us. He is now a body. We've got the position covered. He can't help us. Bite the bullet now. I mean, there's not like some deadline here, like play four games and the Cowboys save a little bit of money, right? I mean, they're eating $7 million either way here.
Right. What about him changing jerseys? Paying all that money to change.
He'll always be in my number nine.
Well, I know that, Kent. I mean, he paid a decent amount of money for that. Now, he's still going to get paid for the rest of the season and that, but that was a – when that happened, that was a pretty big deal. I know Cowboys fans weren't exactly thrilled with that, and you don't make that move unless you think that you're going to be with a franchise for at least the entire season.
What if
he still have to pay for those jerseys?
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
Those number nines that don't get sold now?
Well, the nines he probably doesn't, but the 54s he had to.
As Des Bryant tweeted, I understand it's a business, but you don't mess with the team whenever everything is going right. And I think that's just the thing. I don't think there's going to be a guy. Like, surely, as you mentioned, he's got friends on the team. And everyone in the NFL, like, okay, you don't ever see
this,
a guy lose his job. Everyone
to
knows it's
sour.
A business.
No,
yeah,
this
there's
has
two
to
sides.
Gotten sour.
Yeah, there's two sides
to
every story. How do you know that there wasn't
something in the locker room that like, okay, we need to get this guy out of here before, you know, I don't know how is that locker room, the linebacker room, John, like specifically the dynamic between Leighton Vander Esch and Micah Parsons and Jalen Smith and the upper echelon of those guys, because I think that's what, you know, could have pushed maybe one of them out the door if things got testy, because you don't want to, I guess, mess with Micah's trajectory as a player.
Here's my thing, too, is for you to be a vocal leader and be a leader and be this guy that everyone rallies around, you have to be making plays on the field. You can't just be rah-rah, I'm on the sidelines all the time. You have to make plays. Well, the guys that are making the plays, like Trayvon Diggs, and Micah Parsons, Osa Digizua. Like, I don't see how those guys are just like, oh my, how are we going to go forward without Jalen Smith? What are we doing? I mean, Dan Quinn is right. Who that these guys look towards. And to be honest, like, how do you not know that there wasn't something behind the scenes? You don't know that for sure, that there wasn't like, hey, man, this is starting to get out of control. And if he's going to play less and less, this could become an issue, because that certainly would be the case. I mean, if Micah Parsons and Keanu Neal are healthy, they're not coming off the field. Well, they're not adding another linebacker spot so Jalen Smith can play. Like, those are your two linebackers, if you even have two. It's, a lot of times you're in dime. So if his playing time is going to be less and less, I don't know how much leadership you really have.
Just throwing this out there, because I'm just trying to cover all tracks here. Could be vaccine related. I was just like, the Kyrie Irving thing's a big story.
I doubt that. I
wouldn't think so. I mean, that certainly could. I'm not going to rule that completely.
They couldn't say that if it was.
Unless, yeah.
There's that, but he's a complete, you know, liability in coverage. That's the whole thing. If the Cowboys are trying to trade him all day, obviously no one was going to trade for that contract as well, which comes into play a little bit in the salary cap. I'm trying to be so, like, I do think it's a positive thing. It almost is like a sign of no more BS. And, like, we're serious about winning, then we can't have bad players getting this many snaps. And I'm sure they probably felt – I'm sure there are people on that defensive side of defensive coaching staff who felt like they have to let Jalen play 25 snaps a game or 20 snaps a game or whatever, who are probably like, we really are better off not having him out there. And maybe that means – obviously, Vander Esch might play a little more because of that. I'm almost trying to view it as like, this means they're like for real about winning now.
If anybody thinks that this is all of a sudden like, oh, this is just going to, there's this major crack in the foundation, now everything's going to topple, I will be stunned if that happens.